Riggs Radio Sport.
Pastor Mike, good evening to you. It's Friday the 4th of December and it is officially the start of the season where athletes of all kinds start replacing muscle with pigs in blankets. But as the end of 2020 draws near, the excitement intensifies in local sport.
It's beginning to look a lot like...
Finals week. Hockey teams are battling it out indoors for league titles. The Railway Cup semi-finals are all to play for in football. And could Douglas North claim the Manx Rugby Trophy this weekend? Plus, England hockey has snapped up one of our very own for under-16 trials.
The intensity is very high.
All that and more coming up here on Manx Radio at the home of Manx Sport. Thanks very much to Lewis Foster for the news there. And thank you very much for your company this evening. Always very much appreciated. A couple of local stories before we dive in with football, rugby and hockey. In basketball, tensions were high and emotions swirling last night in the latest round of the Men's Basketball League. The NSC played host to two magnificently competitive games, both of which went down to the wire. On court one, Wolves and Cavaliers had spectators on the edge of their seats from start to finish. I should know, I was one of them. Wolves started strong, taking and maintaining the lead in the first quarter, but Cavs came back fighting in the second, racking up a steady string of shots which took them ahead, leaving Wolves with a mental uphill battle. By half-time, heads were down in the Wolves' corner, which Cavs preyed upon, extending their lead, sinking shots with ease and quiet confidence. Something clicked into place, though, for the underdog side in the fourth quarter, with each player on the Wolves team fired up and ready to fight to close the gap. Wolves smothered Cavs with defensive pressure, leading to countless steals and turnovers. Unfortunately, those shots just weren't sinking in their favour. And despite a few wobbles in attack, the cause of Wolves' man-to-man pressure, Cavs carried on cool, calm and collected. In the end, Wolves ran out of time. And in what was an incredibly exciting final quarter, Cavs took the win 66 to Wolves 57. And it was a game for the Michaels with player of the match on winning side Cavs going to Michael Lewis and Michael Pardo on Wolves' side. And there was controversy in the other match of the night between rivals Douglas and Turkeys. The game was practically goal for goal from start to finish, and what a finish it was. Douglas got points on the board in the dying seconds of the game, leaving them on 60, 3 points ahead of Turkeys when the final buzzer sounded. Turkeys, however, turned to the bench officials, claiming foul play. They believed Douglas, while attacking, were in their own half for 14 seconds, the rule being you can only be in it for 8. This would put 6 seconds back on the clock for the Turkeys, just enough time to potentially sink a 3-pointer and level the game. However, officials ruled against the request, leaving Douglas on a high with a well-fought win. Final scores on the doors, Douglas 60, Turkeys 57. And earlier in the evening, it was the final round of the year for the Ladies League, which saw the Bulldogs, Terriers and Poodles meet once again on court for a round-robin competition. Each side was made up of a mix of seasoned pros and brand new players, a promising sign for the league and its competitors who have seen a boost in numbers this year after strongly encouraging more women to get involved in the sport. After 2 hours of matches, the result was a mirror image of the previous meeting of all the teams. Bulldogs came out as unshaken tournament champions, keeping Terriers at bay, who spent the entire evening snapping at their heels every step of the way. And Poodles came in third, but celebrated small victories as new players honed in on a plethora of skills, which was appreciated via very loud cheering from all the women competing. Elsewhere, and round one of the Airgun Association's Winter League saw Greg Hogg top scores in air rifle and Nathan Holden head up the air pistol. In what was the first competition since lockdown, there was a real mixed bag of performances, with the majority of competitors feeling they'd scored below average. Blake Richardson, however, was one to buck the trend with an excellent personal best score of 534 out of 600 to take third place in the air pistol, just behind Catherine Holden, who finished on 544, just 1 point off her dad's score. Newcomer Arissa Fairbairn handled the nerves of her very first competition like an absolute pro, achieving a very promising score of 513, highlighting her very quick progress in the sport. And thank you very much to Nathan Holden for sending that report in to me. And in squash, Team Aon secured the first half of the A-League Squash Championship with a dominant display over Stonart last night. The seniors, who were defending the title they lifted last season, ran out 4-1 winners to take an unassailable lead at the top of the table. Top seed Robin Creese beat Stonart's Hamish Thornton in straight sets. Jason Creese, Mason McClarney and Chris Cave all won in four against their opponents, with Steve Baker taking the home side's only victory.
Manx Radio Sport.
And just to mix things up a little bit this evening, we are going to start with hockey. And Sam Spooner is sat opposite me, as always. How are you, Sam?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you very much.
And I hear you're playing football this weekend.
Yeah, I'm lucky for some.
Mixing things up a bit. Are you excited?
I am, actually, yeah. It's probably the first time I've even tried kicking a ball, football or hockey, in
good
about a year now.
Good luck to
so.
Your team. Okie dokie. So, fewer hockey games this weekend, but what's exciting is it's moving indoors. It's the mixed Premier League final, mixed Division One final, ladies final and men's final, indoor hockey. So firstly, just what's the difference between outdoor and indoor, besides the fact that you're playing inside, obviously?
Well, obviously it's a smaller pitch, and also that pitch is barriered, so you can use the boards on the side of the pitch to make a pass or use it to deflect the ball away, etc. as well. And it's incredibly fast. Mm. And effectively, you've got your five best players versus the opposition's five best players. So there's very little in the way of weak links or anything like that. And it's highly skillful as well.
What's the average score?
Quite high, to be fair. I've been in games where we've drawn 8-all, because it's on such a small pitch. Mm. You are 1 minute attacking, and then the very, very next second, you've conceded a goal. Unlike outdoor, where you get a chance to recover, and indoor, if you lose the ball, it's very hard to recover that ball quick enough. Also, your tackling's slightly different. You can't hit the ball as well. You're not allowed to sweep into a tackle. You've got to have a straight stick. And you can't hit the ball. You can only flick it at goal or push it.
Okay.
It's incredibly exciting
to watch. Well, let's look at the games this weekend. So in the mixed Premier League final, we've got Backers A versus Vikings A.
Yeah, in the mixed Prem, Vikings haven't lost a game on route to the final, but this is as big as it gets for both sides. And you have to say the Backers men are stronger, but the Vikings ladies are stronger than the Backers ladies. When you look at the outdoor leagues as well, you can see the gulf in class at this point in time between the two women's sides and between the two men's sides. However, that being said, when a Backers versus Vikings game's on, it could go either way. And you have to say Vikings, given their form so far in indoor, are the favourites at this point in time.
Then we've got, in the mixed Division 1 final, Saracens versus Castletown.
Yeah, big Southern derby here between these two sides. It's not often you see these two sides in a cup final. But you've got to say, Saracens ladies, they lack that bit of experience. They are younger, they are quicker, but experience, I think, is going to win the day for Castletown here, especially with their ladies. The men are pretty equal. They're on an equal footing. But Castletown's ladies' experience is definitely going to be the difference here, and I think Castletown should just edge it.
And then straight after, we've got Valkyries versus Vikings A.
Yeah, Valkyries versus Vikings. These sides haven't played each other yet, same as the men's finals, because it was the winner of each pool. Vikings, they're in the better form. They didn't lose any games. They did draw one, but Valkyries ladies did lose a game. So again, you've got to say on form, Vikings are the favourites here. They do have previously. They won last year, and I think they won the year before. And it's been a while since I've last seen them lose an indoor anyway.
Mm-hmm. And then the final match of the day in the men's final is Valkyries versus Backers.
Yeah, both sides have won 4 out of 4 games. Valkyries have been unbelievable in the indoor. You know, they've got some really, really good players in there. And you've had the young Luis Novo-Smith in there as well. He's probably one of the finest players in the island. And he doesn't do anything that's extravagant, nothing Hollywood about him. He just does everything right.
Does the job.
That's what I love about him. And he does the dirty work as well. And you see him put some dirty challenges in, break the play down. He doesn't mind taking a green card, you know, if it means saving his team from a goal. But you've got to say Backers, I think Backers are by far and away the favourites. I think they've just got a bit more experience in and around the indoor leagues. And Valkyries, you're probably looking at Greg Miller, maybe Steve Cotter if he's playing, for their experience. But Backers, they've grown up together, they've played together, and have been playing together for years. And they will be straight in Valkyrie's faces, and I don't know whether Valkyrie's will be able to hold up to that.
And all those games are taking place at the NSC in the main sports hall, and I'm assuming spectators are encouraged.
Yeah, we've got the spectator seats out. They call it the bleachers, so we've got the bleachers out for everybody to sit and watch. And it is unbelievably fast paced, and because it's indoor, it gets very, very hot in there for the competitors and the players, and it just provides a bit of edge.
And so we're going to stick with hockey now, and there's a young player called Sienna Dunn who has been selected for under-16s England trials. What do you know about Sienna?
Sienna's been on the radar my radar anyway. You see her name week in, week out, whether it's been a good performance or a goal or goals quite more often than not. And she's been playing in the senior squads and in the first team for quite a while now. And she is probably the finest young player on the Isle of Man as it stands. And
I wish her
all the best. And don't worry, just go out and enjoy it. Enjoy the experience.
Well, I had the pleasure of speaking to Sienna and her mum, Bernie, earlier this week. And she plays for Valkyries and the Isle of Man under-18 squad. She was a fantastic interviewee. Let's hear what she had to say.
So I started the pathway 3 years ago and I got selected to go to Manchester. And ever since then, I've been going away like several times a month just for training and competition days, which has brought on my hockey a lot, definitely.
Yeah, can you tell me about the differences in training when you go across to those England pathway sessions? What are they like?
The intensity is very high. Like, everyone there is strong, very good skill. The attitude there is a lot like stronger as well. Everyone's like fending for themselves and everyone's in it to win it, sort of thing.
Yeah, it takes a lot of mental strength, I would imagine, at that level, because you're constantly fighting for your spot. So how do you find the mental side of things?
You just got to find your motivation, I think, and that keeps you pushing on, basically, yeah.
And what are your hopes for the future? Because obviously you've been selected for the under-16s England trials. Let's talk about them first. When will they be?
So I'm going away next week, and the trials are next Saturday and the Saturday after.
Okay.
So I'll be going away for that whole week, and hopefully after the trial, the next stage is another trial after that. So hopefully I can get through to that. But if I don't get through, it's just the whole experience of this has just been amazing at the same time.
Huge congratulations and the very best of luck to Sienna Dunn there, who came up to the studio with mum Bernie Dunn, both of whom are doing exceptional things for women in sport on the island. We're talking rugby next.
Manx Radio Sport.
And Dave Christian is on the line, hanging on my every word, I'm sure. And an exciting match is on tonight in the Manx Trophy between Vagabonds A and Douglas South.
Well, this is going to be a tight one, to be honest. Vagabonds just sneaked it down at Portishead, but I've got a feeling that weekend Douglas were a little bit short-handed. That was the same weekend Douglas North dropped the bonus point away at Southern Nomads. I suspect that the two Douglas teams are coming back up very close to full strength right now. We might just see a different result tonight. It's a 7:15 kick-off at Bella Fletcher under the floodlights. The lights are a bit of a leveller. That high ball gets up in the air and it's very difficult for either team, from my experience up there watching, to get a good grip on where the ball's going to come down. So the lights make it awkward. Kicking could be a very, very good option, particularly as an attacking option. The defence underneath the ball, not quite sure where it's going to land, causes all sorts of problems. But remember, Vagabonds have just got one game left in this competition and they need to win, and win with a bonus point to keep any hope they've got of mathematically winning the title. I suspect that the lack of fixtures left for them is going to be against them, and I suspect that whatever happens, it's probably going to be Douglas North that take the Manx Trophy. But Vagabonds need to win and win with a bonus point. For Douglas South, they've still got an opportunity to pick this competition off. Two wins in their last two games will give them a shout, and of course Douglas North's last game is away at Ramsey, which might be a little bit of a tricky fixture for them. So there's a little bit of mileage to run yet, but I suspect tonight at least it's going to be Douglas South who come away with the points.
Also in the Manx Trophy tomorrow, we've got Douglas North versus Southern Nomads, so that's top versus bottom.
Yeah, that's going to be the featured game in Saturday Live tomorrow. Douglas North, depending on tonight's result, could take the title tomorrow, so it's important to be there to catch that. But Southern Nomads, remember, they held Douglas North without a bonus point down there at Ballykillia. And if they can repeat that performance, it should be a cracking game. But what I suspect will happen, as we've seen last week, Douglas North pacemen, Charlie Henthorn at fullback, Craig and Kyle Martin, Craig Martin at scrum half, and Kyle Martin out on the wing. Those guys have got pace to burn, and I suspect if we've got decent conditions underfoot on Saturday, we're not convinced of that either with the weather as it is, but if we've got decent weather tomorrow, we should see Douglas North take the game, and probably quite easily.
Also tomorrow, but in the Manx Bowl, we've got Castletown versus Vagabonds Hornets.
Yeah, tricky one. The Hornets were the form team early on, and they're still up there in their second place in the table. But performances have started to drop a little bit. They got not quite thumped at Ramsey last week, but 47-12 is a pretty confident result. And Ramsey B with a late charge up the table could cause problems for everybody in the bowl. Having said that, Castletown Vagabonds Hornets up at the earlier game at Bella Fletcher. Castletown lost. But with 55, 60 minutes gone, they were still in the game. They were down to, I think, one score was the difference between the two sides. Castletown picked up a couple of injuries. The Hornets ran away with it, and the rest is history. If Castletown could keep all their good guys on the pitch, your Kunal Patel, your Jim Emmett, they can keep their key players on the field, give Vagabonds Hornets a good working out. But on paper, it should be a Hornets win.
Elsewhere in the Manx Bowl at the Field of Dreams, we've got Emerging Nomads versus Western Vikings.
Yeah, tricky one. Western Vikings in a massive win last week, 86-9, I think, against Castletown. And I think Western Vikings, if they can maintain that team going forward, they'll give Emerging Nomads a bit of a game. But on paper, it should be an Emerging Nomads win. They're up there at the top end of the table for a reason. And with their inconsistency in teams, I think Nomad should make short work of them down at Port Heron.
And then finally in the Manx Bowl at Merck Park, we've got Ramsey B versus Vagabonds Ladies.
Yeah, the Ladies looking for their first win, and I don't think they're going to get it this weekend. Ramsey B, they're the form team at the minute. They've won the last five games on the bounce, rocketing up towards the top end of the table, and still with a fair to middling chance of maybe taking the Manx Bowl this season. So I suspect the Ladies are going to be out of luck. But as always, in tag variation of the game, we're seeing huge scores. So expect a big one. Lots of tries for both sides at the Merrick Park.
Thank you very much, Dave Christian.
Manx Radio Sport.
And finally, we come to football. How are you, Tony Meffin?
We're good. And, just been looking after our guests for later on. We've got Johnny Myers. And,
are we revealing them now, or are we saving them for later?
No. We'll let everyone know who it is. So we've got Johnny and Liam, who are going to talk about the up-and-coming FC Isle of Man against the Isle of Man game, which is a week next Wednesday.
Exciting.
Everyone's looking forward to that one. So they've named their squad a couple of weeks ago. So I know there's been a lot of debate about it and how some of the players who actually play for FC Isle of Man are in it. Mm-hmm. We'll find out from the boys later on. And obviously some new guys as well. And that's what it's all about. That's what we wanted Johnny and Liam to do, is to have a good mix in there. Mm. And the boys have picked a cracking squad, and it'll make for a good game.
Fantastic stuff. And we'll hear more about that after the 6:30 break. But for now, let's look at this weekend's fixtures. There's actually a game on tonight in Masters Football, Laxey versus Governors Athletic.
Yeah, fair play to them. It's not too windy down there, so it'll be okay. But it's a big game for both teams, because we played against Onken last week. Johnny plays for Onken's Masters. It's unbelievable when you look at it. Still an Island player. But we're playing against people like Sean Quay, Chris Bass, Steve Priestland. They chucked that one in as well. Then you've got, Johnny Myers can come in and play, and you've got Callum Morrissey. Nightmare. I thought we were playing St George's first team. We did all right, to be fair, up until half time. And then after that, we lost one of the players. Barry Canepa got injured, and Stephen Priestnell's show took over, because they've got the legs. Our fellas are just playing once in a blue moon. But Laxey have got a good team. They've got some good players in there. And also Governors. Governors were one of the favourites at the start of the season. Onken, I think, are now. Mm. So they'll enjoy it. And that's what it's all about, enjoyment. And I'm sure Johnny just does it just to keep himself fit.
Absolutely. An exciting day tomorrow. We've got the Railway Cup semi-finals, sponsored by Descartes. We've got St George's versus Rushen and St Mary's versus Corinthians.
Yeah, I'm just looking at these two guys and hope I don't fall out with anyone. But no, it's a big, big game. And when the draw, Stevie Dore made the draw, I thought to myself, wow, two big games. You look at the league tables. You've got Corinthians on top, Rushen mm-hmm. just behind, say the two possibly favourites for it. But on the day, St George's are as good as either. And also, when you look at St Mary's, they're as good as either. So they're going to have to be at the top of the game. I think Sean Quay is still suspended tomorrow, Johnny. So that's a big loss for them. But Johnny's done a terrific job bringing good players in, good young players. I watched the under-18s recently, Geordie's against the Ireland under-18s. And there's some terrific players for the future there. Mm. And with Liam, it's been a little bit stop and start for Liam of late, but you know, there's no Dan Hattersley, as far as I know, which is a loss, because even if he's not quite 100% fit, he can score goals for anywhere. And Jamie Johnston, I haven't heard if he's fit, but Liam gives me the nod. He's been a big player for them, but they've got the big plus of Mikey Williams back in there. And, you know, goals can come from him. And Furo Davies is an absolute unit. He's
on
so
the score
tall.
Sheet every weekend.
Exactly. And I'm pretty certain that Johnny would have liked to have kept Furo, but Liam's got him and making good use of him. But when you look at the back, Adam Cool, Alex Maitland, they're immense. And that's a big, big partnership, I think, for Manx football in the future.
Well, we'll talk more about the semi-finals shortly. So I'm just going to quickly run through the other fixtures for the weekend. So in the Prem, we've got big match between Moran versus Peel. We've also got Ramsey versus Ayr and Douglas Athletic versus Laxey. In JCK Div 2, we've got Foxdale versus Maloo. Douglas and District take on Paul Rose. Governors Athletics will take on Jims. In Combi 1, Ayr go against Ramsey. We've got St John's versus St George's. Laxey take on Douglas Athletic. And in Combi 2, we've got Oncombe versus Ramsey Youth Centre and Braddon versus Governors Athletic. So, Tony, if you had to just pick one of those matches to watch tomorrow, what would be the game of the day to watch?
I think there's two big games. Moran against Peel, I think, is a big game. But I think Peel, Lee Gale's due to play for the first team. So Alex Holden as well, I think, is in the squad. So that'll make them a lot stronger, more forceful up front. But the one I'm looking at is Foxdale against Maloo. Dean Kinley's transferred from Old Boys yesterday back to Maloo. And, you know, Maloo are pushing to try and get promoted alongside. To me, it's inevitable, I think, that Union Mills will be promoted, whether it's champions. So they're two big games, but also one in Combi 2. I know Union Mills are running away with it a little bit, but Oncombe against Ramsey Youth Centre, I think they're the two closest clubs, I think, if there was a big fall by Union Mills, to challenge for that title. So, yeah, there's some interesting games, and it gives chance for those that aren't playing to go Christmas shopping.
Thank you very much, Tony Meppham. Don't go away. Usually at this point, I would say to you that our time together is up, but not this week. You are stuck with me. Apologies in advance. The Mepster and I, along with our special guests, are going to be sticking around for another half an hour with Friday Football Focus to chat about all things football. So don't go away. We'll be right back after the break. Manx
Radio. Making life easier, the ARC Help at Home Centre. With free assessments from in-house healthcare professionals before you buy or hire wheelchairs, mobility aids, profiling beds, hoists and reclined chairs. Find small aids and the island's widest selection of dementia-friendly items, all at competitive rates. ARC Help at Home installs and services equipment and also provides a home help and handyman service too. Call 205 701 or visit the ARC Help at Home Centre, Cars Lane, Tramode.
Your business can grow its market share four times faster when you use the radio. Be heard by nearly 49,000 islanders over 13 weeks. Call us on 682 600. Manx Radio is proud to support Manx businesses and communities.
Oh, look, he's sleeping like a baby. He always sleeps well knowing we're fully covered by our Blackford & Company's car insurance policy.
They offer great value car and van insurance for all Isle of Man residents, with internet prices, local service and advice, and help when you really need it. So call 832 042 today for a quotation or visit manxcover.com.
Think local, stay local. Think Blackford & Company for car and van insurance on 832 042.
Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
We make oil heating easy with our range of services. Whether it's our free smart tank monitoring systems or just our efficient all-island deliveries, Ellen Van In Fuels has it covered. Call us on 844-000 to find out more.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love bought for us panel doors,
three augers,
two taphole basins,
and a Haldane Fisher bathroom.
Haldane Fisher, for paint, timber, power tools and screws, plus bathroom suites, fantastic doors and more. For friendly expert advice and great service, call Haldane Fisher Ramsey on 815441 or Douglas on 624466. You'll find everything you need to improve your home at Haldane Fisher. See online or visit your nearest branch in Douglas or Ramsey.
Get ready for Christmas at Riley's. There's everything you need for Christmas at Riley's, from trees, decorations and lights to great gift ideas and toys. Join in with the festivities with the largest Christmas display on the island, Christmas Tree Park and Winter Wonderland. And don't miss Santa in his grotto every weekend throughout December between 12 and 3pm for just £5 per child, which goes to charity. Pop into Riley's Garden Centre on Cool Road or follow Riley's on Facebook or Instagram for more details.
Don't miss the Close Lease Farm Christmas Artisans Market, the 5th and 6th of December. Showcasing over 45 local crafters and food and drink producers, it's the perfect opportunity to stock up for Christmas. The cafe will be open and the roaring log fire will be lit. Parking and entrance is free, and there's a free shuttle bus from St John's School every 20 minutes. The festive season begins at the Close Lease Farm Christmas Artisans Market on the Patrick Road, St John's. From 11 till 5.
Greatest Hits, brought to you by Nicola Bowker & Co. Here for you when you need us.
Hello and welcome back to the show. It's Rhianne Evans here with Friday Football Focus for you, joined by the football fountain of knowledge and also weatherman Tony Meppen, but we'll come back to him soon. Thank you very much for your company this evening. It's lovely to have you here. The time is 31 minutes past six and getting things underway. Take That is here singing Everlasting.
It started on a Friday night a million years ago, when the world was cold. We were lonely satellites with nowhere left to go. When we said hello, call it gravity, or is it history? Where'd it go? Where did you go? It started on a Friday night. We were running riot, we were flying high, searching for the time of our lives. Everywhere we go, but never going home. And every tear we ever cried keeps the rivers of our lives flowing back to me. And every thought we ever had, every word we ever said, is coming back to me. And you know, baby, when the lights go out, we'll be dancing. Even when the sky falls down, we'll be dancing. Never running out of time, everlasting. 'Cause we're all stars when we're dancing. Baby, when the lights go out,
take that Everlasting there, and I here take that are actually big fans of Tony Meppam, and he is sat right opposite me still. How are you, Tony?
I'm good. I didn't get to watch Take That, but Tina went to watch it with all the gang, and actually me, Nick and Roger Chadwick went and watched Celtic against Motherwell. They froze to death. Nick had the bovril at half time and wouldn't come back out again. So that was my trip of watching Take That in
bovril,
Scotland.
That's a good football beverage, ooh, isn't it? Okay, so joining myself and Tony Meppam, we've got Johnny Myers, who is the new manager of Geordies, taking over from Chris Bass. And we've also got Liam Cowan, who's the manager of Rushen. How are you both?
Good, thanks.
Very well, thank you.
Yes, excellent. Okay, so let's talk about the exciting games coming up this weekend in the Railway Cup semi-final. What should we talk about first? St George's versus Rushen. So St George's third in the table, Rushen second.
Leave it to you guys because I'm not getting involved in this fight.
No, it should be quite a good game. You know, we've hit a little bit of form since we had a blip against Moran. The weather looks like it's holding off. I think speaking to Liam just prior to this, we both got quite strong squads. There's not many players missing from both. So yeah, all in all, I'm expecting a really, really tough, hard game.
Same. I don't think the pitch will be up to much, so I'm expecting quite a big battle, to be honest. From what I've seen from my lads over the last few weeks, more than ready, more than capable of battling to hopefully get us the right result, to get us in the final Boxing Day. Again, we're on a good bit of form. We've had 3 or 4 clean sheets in a row now, but that counts for nothing in a semi-final, especially when you're playing against likes of Pekka and Bass Jr. and Johnny himself, so... Looking forward to it, really. Lads are looking forward to it. Train well, so we'll see how it goes tomorrow.
Yeah, what's the feeling in sort of the changing rooms? Are your team confident?
Yeah, I think we have to be. We've had a really good season so far. I think the lads are just trying to get them to relax is the hard thing. Mm-hmm. If I can get them to relax and they can play the football that I know they can play, and I think we'll be all right on the day, hopefully.
What's your method to relax before a game?
It's just another game of football to me. Yeah, I just do my normal thing. If it was me, if I was playing, I'd have my same meal every Saturday and
mm-hmm. You got your
do
routine.
My same routine like I did when I was playing for St George's with Johnny. It was just another game of football. If you build up too much, then you tend to make more mistakes. So just try and chill out.
Yeah, from our point of view, it's you know, it's probably like quite a long time ago since we went into a semi final, not favourites, I guess. Yeah. And you know, in a lot of people's eyes, we're probably not favourite. In my eyes, I think, you know, the teams are pretty well matched. You know, the first game we had in the league, which Rushen won 2-0, you know, it was a really tight game. And small little errors or moments of brilliance won the game. So a lot of ours are quite young lads as well. But I don't see them as, all right, the talent coming through. Their time is now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in the team now. So they have to start producing in these big games, and you know they're very capable of doing that, and that's what I expect tomorrow.
And you're both involved in the exciting upcoming game between FC Isle of Man and the Isle of Man national side. So what are you expecting from that?
Very excited, to be honest. I expect a really good game for a really good cause. When we got asked from the Isle of Man FA to do it together, we both jumped at the chance. You know, it's a chance to work with players that are still current, you know, because I'm currently still playing. Liam's not long sort of forcibly retired because of injury, but so it's nice to kind of get that opportunity to work with them and kind of give our ideas on how we see football going, because you know the likes of Chris Bass Senior and Lee Dixon and Paul Jones, Steve Burns, they're great managers, great coaches, but we have a different spin on
what is your spin?
Well, yeah, that would be a secret to tell, but you know, we kind of on the same page, and we always have been when we played together at St George's, but yeah, no, it's exciting times ahead, I hope.
Mm-hmm. And if you had to put money on a side winning,
us,
yeah, we've got a very strong squad. The squad's a mix of like some players that play for FC Isle of Man, and some younger lads that we want to see in various positions. You know, as Tony alluded to before, there's a lot of talk on players that weren't in the squad, players that are in the squad. The players that did make the squad doesn't mean we don't think they're good enough. It's just that, you know, in certain positions we want to see different players and give them the opportunity to perform against a really good side in front of a biggish crowd.
So you are kind of focusing on that long-term goal of producing and really building up younger players and giving them an opportunity,
you know,
to
hopefully
to
down
perform.
The line, maybe when the job becomes available, we might take it on full time with a bit of luck. And if that does happen, then some of the FC players aren't going to be around for us, so it's important that we do look at the non-FC players as well and give these boys a chance to look at, you know, what we might possibly get to work with in the future. So, you know, there's some big players that have missed out on our squad, but, you know, like we said, that me and Johnny have had a chat before, if we had a tournament next week, then big players would probably be in that squad, but unfortunately they've missed out and they'll probably play for FC and it'll make a really good game for, like Johnny says, for a really good cause. So
it's an interesting topic, really, because I guess you would have to have some confidence to accept the fact that if you played with those more established and older players, you could progress more quickly with FC Isle of Man. But once those players reach a point where, you know, they're not going to be playing anymore, then you're going to have to take a big step backwards to bring the younger ones through. But if you decide to be a bit more patient and not go for the quick gains early on and just develop those younger players into it, then hopefully the success would be longer lasting.
Yeah, it as Liam said, it's quite unfortunate for some of the older players. Like, obviously the COVID's come in, and it's probably taken their chance to play in FC Isle of Man away, possibly, depending on how it goes next year. And unfortunately, that's life. You know, some of the players are my age, 36, 37, and when I wasn't playing for the Isle of Man team anymore, it does hurt in the interim. But there's other ways to get involved, and they're still good enough to get in the squad. They're still good enough to get in the team. But if we don't start looking at the younger players now, there's no hope for them. You know, they haven't got anything to aspire to, because they're just going to say, "Oh well, they're just going to pick the same 16 no matter what."
And then players lose interest.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, and we want to encourage players so they actually think, "But I want to play in that. I want to play in that squad, and I can see someone my age who's done well last week is now in that team, and it's something that they can aspire to."
Brilliant. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Let's talk, Tony Meffin. You've been the quietest I've ever heard you.
Yeah. I'm taken in by the boys because they've got such a mine of information with football and they deserve this opportunity, and that's why the Isle of Man FA, the board discussed it. I asked if we could organise the game and they give full support. So who's going to be manager? I said, there's two guys there looking at us. They manage two of the top four sides on the island. Why not you know, ask them to see if they do it? And I'd already sort of spoken to both of them and I didn't know they'd spoken together. And I just said, if it came available, would you fancy it? He says, yeah. And he said, we'd do it together. Well, even better. And you couldn't have asked two better players because, you know, unfortunately, Liam's a top golfer, but he was a brilliant footballer, but injuries put paid to that. You know, but Johnny, now you've just turned 36, 37?
37, yeah.
November, is it?
Your birthday? No, October.
October, I'm close. I'm pretty good at it. You know, Johnny's still one of the best players on the Isle of Man. Unbelievable. And it's just the next stepping stone. Mm-hmm. And we need to find out them. But it's quite interesting listening to them bringing young players in. There's two that I picked out of your squad. Nathan Tia, your goalkeeper, who, you know, is definitely worth a shout. He's been absolutely brilliant. And Sam Baines, who's awesome. And he had a slow start, I thought, to the season. But now I'm seeing the Sam Baines I saw a year ago. So they're two bright future players, aren't they, for us?
Yeah, well, I mentioned Nathan to Johnny after, I think it was after we both played him around, wasn't it? And he had a great game against Russian down at Russian. You know, I personally think he was man of the match. And he made some brilliant saves that day and really impressed me. So he fully deserves his chance. And the same with Sam. When Sam played, even we beat them, I think it was 7-4 in the end. But we were 4-3 at half time against Douglas Royal, and he was magnificent in that first half. He was getting on the ball, didn't shy away from trying to get on the ball and play. And he really, again, he really impressed me. So both like fully deserve an opportunity to have a go for the Isle of Man. And yeah,
he's got great vision as well, Sam Baines, because I watched that game and up to half time you must have been saying, we're in the game and a half here. No, and it was the second half where it all come good for you. But that left peg he's got is something special.
Yeah, you don't want to know what I said at half time anyway.
He's
tell us.
I spotted him like last year or the year before. And I think he's brilliant. I think he gives like a different dynamic to what we've got in the squad already. And you look at midfield, you've got Joe Quayle, who's a very good holding midfield player. Jack McVeigh, you know, he can play anywhere, but his passing range is brilliant. And you've got your box-to-box in Frank Jones. Sam Baines is the playmaker. He gets the ball into feet. He's comfortable, plays around him, brings other players in. As you said, his vision and his you know, his wonderful left foot. He's just got to show that he's got the hard work and the desire to push on and knock these players out of the team, basically. And if he's got that, then he can go far.
I've got to ask, how did you get Jack McVeigh and Frank Jones to commit to you? Because that's the sign of the season, because those two, two of the best players on the Isle of Man.
To be fair to both of them, and, you know, as soon as I messaged Frank and Jack and we mentioned what was happening and spoke about the game and stuff, they were both like straight away, yes. You know, so it just shows that, you know, they're still both keen to represent the national team, which is, it's great for us. You know, if stuff did come down further down the line for me and Johnny, the two lads are available. Their experience mixed with a bit of youth, you know, you never know where the squad could go, because Frank, you know, Frank's, even though Frank's knocking on a bit, he's like 33 now, so, you know.
Love that.
Yeah, you love that.
33?
Yeah, he's knocking on a bit, Frank. So.
Sorry, is that knocking on a bit?
Yeah, it is in football terms.
Okay, that's fine.
But he's still probably one of the fittest lads on the Isle of Man, but with his experience, Jack's experience, you know, later down the line, if we're lucky enough, you never know where we could go with them two, especially.
It's the dedication. You know, they've had it for years, Jack and Frank, and lots of other players, you know, training three nights a week, playing once a week. And once you get that, you just want to play in every game, every tournament. And that's what you want to see. If players had turned us down for a reason that they didn't want to play in the game, not the reason for not playing for FC Isle of Man, then it'd be difficult to try and pick them again over someone else who wants to play. Because you want players that want to play for you and want to play for the national team. Yeah. And to be honest, everyone we asked was chomping at the bit to play.
Big strong Russian connection, isn't there? Stevie Riding,
yeah.
Adam Kuhl, Alex Maitland. Alex, I know, was looking forward to play it, because it's just unfortunate for Alex. There's good centre-backs there, and Jack, Ryan Burns, you've got Cam Lee, other people there. And, you know, Alex, to me, is the future.
I feel I'm not just saying this because I'm Russian manager, and it might sound a bit biased, but for me, he's the best defender on the Isle of Man at this very moment in time. I feel this season he's really, especially since getting in the FC Isle of Man squad, he's stepped his game right up. He's been absolutely fantastic for us. And same with Adam. You got to remember,
Adam's
just turned 18 the other day.
Wow.
And you know, he's going to be unbelievable. Like, he's gone from not even being able really playing or getting in the team for Douglas Royal. He come down to us and he's been a regular fixture in my team, and he's one of the first names on the team sheet, to be honest. He's one of the fittest lads I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah,
I'm not joking.
He come down to our pre-season just because we started earlier,
yeah,
and asked if he could come down, and he's just such an athlete. You know, just even then, he's got stronger now. But I watch him playing in the under-18s, and it's like a man versus boys in there.
And he's a lovely lad too, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's a gentleman.
Yeah, he's a cracking lad.
Right, we're going to come back to the forward line in a minute.
Yes, we're going to take a quick break. You've got time to get a cup of tea, and we'll be right back.
Christmas is a stress-free zone at ShopRite this year. Everything's in our mouth-watering 20-page brochure showcasing the very best of Sainsbury's. And your famous quality turkey, goose or duck can be sorted right now from our order form. Pick up in-store or download from manxshoprite.com. Choose your meat and tell us the day and store that's best for collection. Email or drop the form into your local store and then just collect and cook. ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
Qplus.co.il. For your new bathroom, visit Qplus, the largest bathroom showroom on the island, with over 50 stunning displays from leading brands, including hundreds of bathroom fittings, tiles and flooring. Qplus provide free design and 4D virtual display, so you can really see how your new bespoke bathroom will look. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate or see online. Qplus. You imagine, we design. Qplus.co.il.
How much income will you need in retirement? £10,000 per year? £25,000? £50,000? At Moore Stephens Financial Services, we'll create a personalised lifetime retirement matrix to project whether your plans are in line with reality or just a pipe dream. If they are just pipe dreams, we can show you how to get them back on track. Moore Stephens Financial Services. Here today, planning for tomorrow. Moore Stephens Financial Services Limited is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Well, Geoffrey, your new conservatory solid roof looks great. It's still nice and light with the roof windows.
Yes, we love it.
They seem to be all the rage.
I've heard some horror stories, though.
Fox got in with the chickens again.
No. I hear some replacement roofs are too heavy for the glazed walls.
Surely you went to Spectrum Windows. They work high spec and to building regs.
Of course we did. We wouldn't go anywhere else.
Transform your conservatory with a solid roof from Spectrum Windows. Visit the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Everyone knows that at Isle of Man Creamery, our milk is green. Natural and wholesome from grass-fed Manx cows on local family farms. but you might not know that our cartons are now green too. We're introducing the first plant-based packaging in the British Isles, containing no oil-based plastics at all. Fresh Manx milk, now in the most environmentally friendly packaging available. Call 632000 or visit isleofmancreamery.com for doorstep deliveries.
My prom, my place to eat and drink. There are so many great restaurants, cafes, pubs with live music and takeaways along Douglas Prom. With two-way traffic and plenty of extra parking in Douglas, eat, drink and be merry this Christmas with friends and family on the prom. There are some great special offers and Christmas deals available now, so check myprom.im for the latest news and updates and enjoy your prom.
Greatest Hits, brought to you by the team at Nicola Bowker & Co.
Hello and welcome back to Friday Football Focus, where we're all having fun, everyone enjoying themselves.
Having a great time.
Having a great time.
Sounds really convincing.
I'm looking for the mince pies.
Yeah.
Sorry, I ate them all. So we're talking forwards now. Johnny, can you tell me more about the setup for the FC Isle of Man Island game?
Yeah, so we've kind of gone quite strong in the forward line. Kieran McNulty's in there, who obviously plays for St George's, and his fitness has gone skyrocketed this year, and he's, you know, his performances are proving that. You've got the likes of Sean Doyle and Luke Murray, who haven't played against him this year. They're such a handful. Sean's banging goals in left, right, and centre at the minute, and Luke Murray, you know, he could be anything. You know, he's got the ability to be right one of the best players in the Isle of Man, you know, in the next few years. And then you got likes of the wingers like Mikey Williams, Sammy Gelling, on the right hand side, Dan Simpson, another one who's, you know, he's such a talent. Dan Simpson, he's probably one of the best players in the Isle of Man. Maybe would have got Isle of Man Player of the Year last year. If the season had finished. Mm. But yes, it's looking really strong for us.
And let's talk about behind the reasoning behind this game. It's all for charity. You know, I mean, we talk about the competitiveness, but there's a really lovely sort of motive behind it. So you're raising money for the Craig Hartstrong Foundation, and I believe both of you played with Craig.
Yeah, we both played with Craig. You know, and I knew Craig from a young age, and Craig's father as well. He was a tremendous player, so quick, wasn't he, Tony?
Yeah,
he was so quick and skillful. I only found a picture the other day when we celebrated the Railway Cup final. So he's a great charity. What they do is fantastic. The amount of defibrillators I see now around schools, sports centres, even in town, outside the post office, is tremendous. And, you know, the heart screening as well. I've been screened twice. So I'd encourage anyone who can be screened to be screened. You know, there's people like Danny Oram and other people who have, you know, been there and been away and stuff like that. And even my girlfriend's brother had an issue, and he was sent away, and it was absolutely brilliant to see what they do. So I'd encourage you to get down. It's £5. Tickets are available at the Isle of Man office. You know, it'd be good to get a really good crowd down. It's going to be a good game. So
and just tell us when it is again.
So it's Wednesday the 16th of December, 7 o'clock kickoff, yeah. I think. Yeah, down at the bowl. So yeah, get yourself down there. There'll be refreshments there, so it should be good.
Excellent. And of course, looking a bit closer to home, the second game in the Railway Cup semi-finals tomorrow is St Mary's versus Corinthians. So what are your predictions, Tony?
I know what my prediction wants to be.
But, sorry, what's your prediction?
I'll let
Liam
make
Johnny?
His prediction, because I personally thought that when Russian played Corinthians at Russian were very, very unlucky not to take all the points. I just thought we rode our luck that day.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed we didn't pick up all 3 points, but on the day, a draw is probably a fair result between both teams. I don't think both teams didn't really, there wasn't much threat posed. Obviously, Quirk was man the match, but a point's a fair result. Disappointing on our point of view, but I'll take it. Tomorrow's game, obviously Corinthians. I'd say Corinthians are favourite for the whole thing, to be honest, the whole competition, but I've just got a funny feeling St Mary's might pull one off tomorrow, to be honest. I really do. I just feel like big games bring out the big players, and like we mentioned already, Frank, Jack, you know, them two, Steedo. I've just got a feeling St Mary's might sneak it tomorrow. I've just got a feeling, you know, they just know how to win these games. You've got them players in their team that know how to win big games, big semi-finals. I'm pretty sure Lange will have them well drilled, well set up. So yeah, I think it'll be a really tight game, but I just fancy I just fancy St Mary's to just sneak it.
Do you see any of the games going to extra time? Because it's a cup game, it's got to be finished on the day.
I hope an ours doesn't, because I'm on call for work. So.
But, handy for Christmas.
Yeah, but both games going to be really tight. It's hard to pick a winner. I obviously want Russian to win, obviously, in my game, and the other game's 50-50. But if anyone's going to go to extra time, I'd say it'd be the St Mary's Corinthians game.
How do you see the other game going tomorrow, Johnny?
I think it'll be close. It all depends, in my opinion, how well St Mary's defend. If they can keep, you know, the likes of Sean and Luke and Dan quiet and maybe only concede the one or two, I can see St Mary's scoring two or three. I'm not going to sit on the fence. I'm probably going to go for a 3-2 Corinthians win. But it will be a tough game. It wouldn't surprise me if it did go extra time and penalties.
Yeah, and you throw Steve Whitley in as well, because Steve's been in great form. And the thing is, he's naturally left-footed, but plays on the right. Yeah. So it's a bit of a nightmare for a left fullback to deal with, because he can go either way. I used to hate that. Steve Faulkner, when I marked Steve Faulkner, Steve could do it. And
Steve Whitley's one of them players. He can win a game and turn it on its head. Fantastic player. And yeah, as you said, to keep them quiet or quiet-ish, St Mary's have got a big chance. But if they don't, then, you know, they could run riot.
Very, very quickly, Tony.
Yep.
Weather forecast for tomorrow.
Weather forecast is not sounding too good, to be honest with you. So we'll have to wait and see.
What's the contingency plan?
Geordie's pitch is good. John Higginbotham, I think Ash does a bit up there as well. They do a great job, and because they've had funding off the English FA, it helps. But the bowl, it won't matter if snow comes down there. But just before we go, a big, big thank you to Isle of Man Creamery for sponsoring the game. All the money that they've put into the pot goes into the Craig Hartstrong Foundation. Everybody that goes, and the tickets are £5 for adults, one for children. We've had to put it up just purely to help the charity, because, you know, with COVID-19 being there, charities are struggling a little bit, and this is our chance for Manx football to say thank you to Craig Hartstrong Foundation for giving us all a defib, and also Isle of Man Creamery for their support. Unbelievable.
Well, thank you very much, Tony Meppham, and thank you, Johnny Myers and Liam Cowan. Very lovely having you on the show. And that's it from us this evening. Thanks very much for having me for a whole hour. I really appreciate it. It's been great. Best of luck to everyone competing this weekend. I will be back with you tomorrow at 5 o'clock on AM for Saturday Sport Classified, where I will have all the latest results for you, a preview of Sunday's senior netball fixtures, and also a special live guest from the Schoolboy Motocross Club. So until then, George Ferguson has greatest hits for you. Have an excellent Friday night, and I'll speak to you tomorrow. Bye for now.